This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. Welcome to Senate Local Government, our maiden voyage, off to a little rocky start, but we're here. Welcome to those listening over the internet. If you have your phones here, please make sure they're on vibrate. If you're planning on testifying, make sure you've signed in and make sure you have your badges on. Would the secretary please call the roll?
Senator Kamak.
Here.
Ewing.
Here.
Nostrum.
Yes. Here.
Steinar, excused. Wismer, excused. DeSanto, excused. Jensen.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay, we have a quorum. This morning we have an interesting situation. We have Senate Bill 66, and I would ask the sponsor to come up to the mic and address the situation. Good morning, Senator Greenfield.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members, or at least some of the members of the committee. I am Brock Greenfield. I'm the senator from District 2, and my hometown is Clark. As you've alluded to, we have a situation. It's a developing situation. Last evening, the two sides of this issue continued discussions and decided at this point to seek a ceasefire, and they will be coming to the table and negotiating, and I am completely happy with that development and would beg of the committee's indulgence to take testimony from anybody from out of town who can be back here if there's a subsequent meeting. We have to be respectful of the people who traveled in, but I do think there will be brighter days ahead relative to this issue. I have every confidence that the two sides will negotiate in good faith and that we can come to perhaps a reasonable resolution without the varying competing bills. So I do commend the folks on both sides who have worked diligently throughout this process, and very much respect them for getting to the point we're at right now. Sometimes legislative answers come without legislation, and that could very well happen. But we will ask that the committee defer this bill till another day in case we need vehicles to move forward with. So with that, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I will stand down and thank you for your indulgence in the requests of moving this to a different day. I do apologize that things didn't happen a little more quickly so that so that the committee could have accommodated by maybe not having people gather here today, but this is where we're at right now, and I do appreciate your willingness to hear the testimony from people from out of town, again, because we have to be respectful of the miles that they've traveled and the accommodations that they've had to make. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Very good. Thank you, Senator Greenfield. At this time, we'll entertain any other proponents who feel the need to testify. Any other proponents? Any opponents that wish to testify at this time? Please come up to the mic, sir. Introduce yourself. Okay, very good. Like I said, rocky start. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Bob Peasall. I'm a lawyer from Flanders, South Dakota. I've done a little utilities litigation in the course of my practice. I also sit on the city council. I'm an alderman in the city of Flanders. We have a municipal utility, but I am here speaking on my own behalf. I'm not here representing any other organization or the city of Flanders. Frankly, I'm very happy to hear from the representative that there is anticipated modification here. My intent today was to fill in a few gaps that I anticipated the other opponents were going to provide, but I don't think I'm going to be able to get back because getting 4 hours to drive each way out of a lawyer's schedule is tough. I had a trial canceled today, which is the only reason I was able to make it. The clients are happy too. My concerns about this bill essentially fall into a couple of categories. One is that in the arguments that I've read, there's concern that it was essentially unfair to to see a municipal utility taking property from a for-profit utility or an investor-owned utility. I just got done litigating three different eminent domain cases wherein investor-owned utilities were taking private property from farmers. All of that taking of private property is something that's authorized by a government for the good of the people as a whole. So it rings a little hollow when one agency or organization that's empowered to take property in order to do its operations and provide electricity to the citizens then objects when some other agency is taking its property to do exactly the same thing. There are also a couple of logistical concerns that I would offer just so that the committee's aware of them as this bill develops in the future. One of them is the unusual mechanic that one could encounter when you have a small but growing community with a municipal electric organization, wherein some members of the community are not served by that organization. If you use Flandreau as an example, were Flandreau to grow, and census data suggests we're finally starting to, you could wind up with a situation where there are individuals on the city council, like myself, who are not served by the municipal utility, who aren't paying the rate per kilowatt hour that they're voting for, but who get to decide where that money is spent. So if I live in the new development outside of town, and I want the city to build a park in the outside of town, we can tap the money from the municipal utility and make the people who live inside of town, or the old part of town, pay for that. That seems to my mind to be a significant problem that would need to be addressed. The other concern deals with the actual mechanics of utility operations in this day and age. We don't have vertically integrated utilities that much anymore. We don't have one agency that's generating their electricity, sending it through their own lines of transmission to their own lines of distribution, and then ultimately to the consumer. We have regional transmission organizations that regulate all that stuff. So a utility company that owns a transmission line doesn't necessarily control who transmits any electricity on it. They're all interconnected, and they're all run by regional organizations like MISO or Southwest Power Pool, I think, is one. Those agencies are going to be shipping electricity to and fro on those lines to customers and to other utilities. And for every kilowatt that gets transmitted, there is a bit of income that's generated for the owner. So you don't actually have much in the way of abandoned equipment or utility hardware that's out there but is left useless, which I think was the concern that some of the proponents had raised. So essentially, those are the concerns I was going to address. I sort of anticipated that they would be in rebuttal to an argument, but I appreciate the opportunity to present the concerns to you so you have them in your mind when the rest of this comes in front of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other opponents that wish to testify this morning? Okay. I don't think we'll have any rebuttal, so we'll just... what we're going to do is we're going to defer Senate Bill 66 to a date to be determined, and I appreciate your testimony and those that have come from out of town. At this time, I would like to have the pages introduce themselves and tell us what their plans are.
My name is Macy Wysorek. I go to Stevens High School, and I plan to pursue a major in biomedical engineering.
Good. Thank you.
My name is Liza Schoenbeck. I go to Webster, South Dakota. I plan on attending Augustana to major in nursing.
Very good. Thank you for serving us today, and you'll be here next week too, right? Excellent. Okay, any other business from the committee? At this time, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So
we have a motion to adjourn by Senator Nostrup, a second by Senator Kamak. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.